All right. We entitled this sermon, I Am, all capital letters, the resurrection and the life. And I subtitled it, Getting Tangled Up in Grave Clothes. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 21 to 28. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Their interaction between Jesus and Martha is very revealing. He said to her first that your brother would rise again. And Martha's eschatology was perfect. Her vision of the last time. And then she said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But her timing was off. She had the word right, but her timing was off. She missed the moment. Her faith failed to rise to the occasion. The resurrection and the life was standing in front of her. And she's talking about what will happen in the end. But he's already there. Verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. And do you believe this? Her reply reveals that she knows who Jesus is, but she still doesn't believe he can raise her brother Lazarus from the dead right now. He had died 4 days ago. Who would believe such nonsense? Unless it's not nonsense. Who would dare to believe? Put it that way. In verse 28, Martha goes away and tells Mary that Jesus is looking for her. And she fails to pass on to Mary what Jesus had told her. And as a result, she fails to instill faith in her sister. Not her fault. We can't pass on what we don't have. Not a belief about Jesus, a believer. I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he can do many things. John 11, verses 32 and following. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See? Same thing her sister said. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Yes, he absolutely could. Matter of fact, if you read what went on previously, he heard that Lazarus was sick, very sick. And disciples said, we should go see him. And Jesus said, no, let's wait. Jesus knew that he wasn't dead yet. Let's wait. What? You're the healer. Why don't you just go heal? No, he's come to overcome death, not just heal. So everyone's weeping, and Jesus became troubled and groaned. If we read in verse 35, Jesus wept in context, we see that he was not, as the Jews said, weeping out of love for Lazarus. He was weeping because no one was getting the message. The resurrection and the life was standing right in front of them, and they didn't get it. How often do we read the Bible and we don't get it? We don't bother reading the Bible because we don't want to get it. And God is doing everything in this world to draw people to him. We either don't want to get it, or we don't get it because we can't believe that. We pick our way through the scriptures, just pick the ones that make us feel comfortable. Not the ones that would actually change how we think and live. In verses 39 and 40, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha said of him, who was dead. Pardon me. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks. Don't open the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. What are you doing? My goodness. Martha, instead of watching God at work, was explaining to God that he obviously didn't understand what was going on. Really? How many times do we do that? God, you don't understand. Valerie, thank you for that. Jesus, you've never suffered like this. We don't understand. We're reading it like a book. Instead of enjoying it like time with our friend, the Savior, who does speak to his sheep. He absolutely does. Jesus simply reminded her of what he'd already said. I am the resurrection and the life. Focus, like Maria does to me. Like actually happened to little Alice, dear thing. She was focused. And sometimes we need that. Oh, by the way, if your kids are doing great, but if you want, there's coloring books and stuff in the nursery you can bring out and lay on the floor, or crayons. If you want to do any of that, parent, please help yourself to do that. If you're comfortable with what's happening, that's good. It's fine. And for anybody else, if you see a child on the floor, that space belongs to them, not you. Okay. So she took away. So they took away the stone as the cave was airing out. Can you imagine it? Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Wow. It's a done deal. Jesus knew what the Father had asked him to do. He just went there to do it. He knew what was going to happen. But he prayed to teach them that they should be speaking to the Father so that they know what's happening. If you want your life to make sense, you need to speak to the Father. He's the one that created it. We're the ones that messed it up if we did. We need to speak to the one who created it in the first place. If we're not doing that, you can't expect to understand what's going on. John chapter 11. Verses 42 to 44. And I know, he said, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. So what's he doing? He's teaching the people as he's praying. What did he say to his disciples when he saw them and he asked them to come and I'll teach you? No, he said, come and follow me. Knowing full well that by his example they would learn much. He said, I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me, so that they don't get hooked up on me. Whoa, but he was God. Yes, he was God in the flesh, but that you don't get hooked up on me, but you get linked up to the Father. That's what resurrection life does. Otherwise, we just follow some person around that talks about resurrection, and we're just fixated on them because we love the way they said something or the way they speak or whatever, and missing the point. The point is to link us to the Father. Oh, yes. To close the great divide. That's what the crucifixion was all about. Jesus wasn't being punished. He took on himself what we deserve. That's how that went down. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Now, kids, you want to pay attention to this next part. He cried out with a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. He came forth. And then the next thing, he who had died came out, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, kids, this is for you, Maria, and whoever wants to help them with that, said to them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Guy needs some help. He's alive, but he needs some help. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So that removing the grave clothes is revealing the life that has happened. We may want to say, well, what if my old ways of thinking and doing have not entirely passed away yet? Maybe you become a believer and you're wondering why you're not perfect the next day. When we're born, we must learn how to walk. When we're born again, we must learn how to walk in the Spirit. But, unfortunately, just like cell phones, we sometimes want our new phone to do what our old phone could not do, and we want it to do this and have it work just like our old phone worked. And that's why the Christian life isn't working, because you're still trying to manage it. You're in the habit of managing and wanting things the way they always were. So that's just not going to happen. Jesus expressed it in the form of wineskins in Luke chapter 5, verses 37 to 39. So back to our story. Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth, or come out. And the one I like best translation that says, Lazarus, here, outside. Here, outside. It makes it sound like he just needed a little direction. The next thing he needed was help with the grave clothes. Loosen. Let him go. Turn it loose. That new life. That's what we're to do. It's not a belief. We've decided to have a belief. No. It's believing. It's full of action. Good job, buddy. We can't live a new life we have been given when we're still looking at the old life we've left behind. So focus is important as well. But the old life we've left behind can still fly in our face from time to time. Maybe even throw us down to the mat, so to speak, with Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. First part of verse 2 as well. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Wow. And it talks about how he endured the cross and despising the shame for us. So here's how we deal with things of our past. Our grave clothes, if you will. We lay aside the worries that come upon us each day and the weight and that tend to weigh us down. We identify the wrong things we do as we do them, and we bring them to Jesus. And that's what the walk looks like. Expect to make a mistake. Expect to not always get it right. And relax. I was never taught to relax when I made a mistake. I'm getting better at it though, right, Maria? She's trying to tell me to get it right, and I'm just relaxing. If he's made it right for us, relax. It's just that the right hasn't found its way to where it needs to find its way just yet. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Did you like that slide? Maybe can you slip that up there again, the beginning of the slideshow, James? I just thought of something when I saw a picture of light coming out of a cave. Well, it's on that same slideshow, James. The stone was not rolled away to let the light out, let the light of the world into the tomb, but to let the light out of the tomb. Jesus, the light of the world. He's the only reason we're the light of the world. We have nothing to offer without Jesus. So, back to 1 John, sorry, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if everybody's growing together, it's no big deal. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, we don't get it right, we help one another. They say, oh, excuse me, you're standing on my face, or you're standing on my ear, or you've stood on my foot, could you back up, please? All those things, we can grow together if everybody's being honest about it. Jesus is perfect, we're being made perfect. Yes, there are things that aren't right. Go ahead, identify it. Take it to Jesus. His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't even in us. If we confess our sins, that is to Jesus, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you've sinned against somebody else, you can confess it to them too. Is that something you've deliberately done or maybe accidentally done? And we can carry on. We help each other with our grave clothes as we journey together. We live honestly in the light of our salvation. The light is Jesus. And we live honestly with one another in spite of and in the midst of our imperfections. Yeah. We have a thing when we're playing. We get after one another once in a while because we're practicing and somebody makes a mistake and they stop. And they're mad at themselves and they don't want to make a mistake. The deal is, make the mistake and get away from it as quick as you can. In other words, keep moving. Play the music, keep moving. So you miss a chord or two. So you hit a wrong note. Not the end of the world. You keep going. And we do that as believers. Be careful not to dismiss something as just the way we are. As we live, you know, don't do that. Oh, this is just the way I am. It's like, I mean, stuck. Not even a, yeah. It's in, you're just in a ditch somewhere, stuck. Or to say that God loves me just the way I am. No. God loves us. Yes. However, if God loving us just the way we are was all there was to it, He would not have written in Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. What's that? That's all about change. Conformed. Wow. How would you like to be a piece of clay? The Bible says that God's the potter. We're the clay. How would you like to be a piece of clay? It gets full of air. The potter just takes their fist to it and punches the air out of it. And then forms it and conforms it. And, oh, ouch, irritating. Oh, I hate it when you're rubbed like that. All that stuff being made into a usable vessel. A vessel that is honoring to God. It's a process. And you're not going to be the same during or after. So as far as trying to stay the same and making excuses for it, don't do that. Because that isn't how God works. And that isn't where God lives in your life. And in Romans 12:2, we are also to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So not just conformed, transformed. Oh, goodness, is there no rest? Well, you can rest for a bit. Just don't fall asleep. Oh, yes. Exactly. And what if the grave clothes we can't seem to shake are a result of someone else's mistake? You ever been really insulted? I mean, seriously insulted? I mean, harmed? Happens to lots of people. We can't seem to shake it. What if the scars we bear are keeping us bound up in our past? What if they're not self-inflicted? What if somebody else did that? If we refuse to agree with the scripture that in Christ all things are passed away and all things are become new, we are prone to blame what didn't turn out in the past for what we believe won't turn out in our future. And this will leave us distressed. And distressed with our present situations. Go on. Carry on. Carry on. Sometimes when Marie and I have, or in the past and hopefully in the future, when hard things happen and you're involved with whoever it might be, and you just tend to get caught up in the situation. And yet, the situation isn't changing because the person is not making the right choices. And we've said to ourselves, after we struggle with that for a while, we look at ourselves and say, we need to move on. We can't die here with this person. We need to move on. And we keep praying for them. But for us, we need to move on. Otherwise, the past will destroy your present and ruin your future. It hurts, but we need to let it go. Like this stuff here on the floor. I hope you trample all through it and look at it when you go by. Maybe it gets all over the church. It'd be a good Sunday to remember the grave clothes and where we've left them. Grave clothes are the memories of regretful pasts. The problem with the past is every time it is revisited, it becomes our present and can cast unwelcome shadows clear into our future. We have to put it down. We have to give it to Jesus. Do you want to share your garbology story, Maria? Can you remember it? We didn't know. She had something, a personal experience happen, and we just called it garbology because we didn't know what else to call it. But apparently there is a study of garbage, and it's called garbology. Just wave that microphone here if you would, dear. If it's loud enough, stay nice and close to it, dear. Thanks, dear. So, Martha knew that Jesus could stop bad things from happening. That's why she scolded him for not being there sooner. Jesus knew what Martha didn't know. Jesus knew that he could bring wonderful things from tragic happenings. He could even bring life out of death. But you have to let them. If these two ladies had got a little more pushy with their doubt, that resurrection might have never happened that day. Jesus walked on in spite of it. He groaned because of it. He wept because of it. But he walked on instead of it. You can take Jesus' hand and do that. You can do that. Just three quick scriptures in closing. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Or what man has done to me? I would put in there. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. These are in that paper that was in your bulletin, if you want to take home as well. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. God's love for us is perfect.